Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Using my GI Bill taught me I can do anything. And seeing me graduate taught my daughter she can too. VA benefits cover tuition, housing, and supplies. Get what you earned. Visit choose.va.gov.
Not all veterans are eligible for the type or amount of benefits mentioned here.
If you find yourself apologizing just to get through the conflict and just to shut it down, you are asking for them to expect this from you each time. Because if you apologize for something one time and you repeat it, and one time you apologize just to keep the peace, which isn't peace, it's the illusion of it, and this time you're going to hold your ground, you are being so inconsistent that they won't know what to believe. You are manifesting and you are actually creating more opportunities for conflict in the future.
Welcome to Shift Talking, a podcast where we explore the art and science of behavior change. I'm your host, Davina Hain, a mental health coach and founder of A Steady Space. Join me as we discuss actionable tips, inspiring stories, and expert insights to help you create lasting change once and for all. Now, let's get to the Shift Talking. Hi, and welcome back to Shift Talking. Episode 20 was all about preventing conflict. Last episode was about how to engage and communicate complaints without it turning into conflict. And today is all about once the conflict hits, what we can do in order to pump the brakes and prevent things from getting so much worse. So we have all been there, right? Like we can feel the heat rising in our chests. And our voice gets tight and maybe even a little bit shaky. You get a ton of energy and adrenaline pumping through your body. And before you know it, you are saying the most vile things that you, one, regret, and two, likely don't even mean. And so what we want to go over today is what we can do to slow down the conflict in real time so you can, again, go down this path of least regret. Early intervention is going to be key to stop this from spiraling, right? And while I've mentioned episode 20 about the prevention, I would love for you to go back and listen to episodes 9 and 10, where we de-villainize anger and talk about why it's actually a good, healthy, beautiful emotion. And then episode 10, where we talk about the neurochemistry, what happens in our brain and in our body when anger spikes, when our threats come through, when we kind of get into this fight or flight mode. So we want to talk about that early intervention by, of course, this episode and going back and listening to those others. We want to practice simple self-regulation tools that we'll go over in real time, and then also how to communicate in real time in order to implement, you know, intentional time delays without feeding the conflict, without fueling it unintentionally. So here's where we have to start with understanding why and how these things escalate. In our last episode, I shared that oftentimes we don't enter into conflict or even avoid conflict altogether because of certain topics. While some may be more challenging for us to address, the vast majority of the time, we just don't have confidence that we can get through this conflict and repair without it becoming a bigger, more massive fight and meaning so much more in our lives than we ever intended for it to. We have to talk about the fight or flight hijack. This is our adrenaline, cortisol pumping through our bodies. It creates that tunnel vision. Our logical brain gets taken over by our amygdala. It's called the amygdala hijack. Our emotions take over. And what we need to do in these moments is to recognize our escalation signals. Does your voice get louder? Does your breathing shift? Does your body get tense? Your heart race? My voice tends to shake and my palms get sweaty. Those two tend to be the main things that I notice first. And then, of course, my heart races and all of these things start coming up immediately after that. But almost always, once I can feel my voice get shaky and almost like my chest feels like it's vibrating a little bit and my palms get sweaty, that is my telltale sign. And right at these signs,
right? Like right when we feel this buildup in our body, that's when we want to pull back. We don't just push through in hopes that if I just white knuckle it, that I'll be able to get through it. You likely will, but it's more likely to get way more messy than we ever wanted it to. So there are three stages of escalation. The first is where we kind of ignore small irritations. We determine that they're petty. We choose to quote unquote let it go. And that tension builds and builds over time, stacking up until we reach a point of a trigger, right? Like this trigger point is typically the comment, action, experience that seemingly flips the switch. It's the straw that broke the camel's back. It's the final blow that we just don't think we can tolerate. And then the third point in escalation is this full-blown reaction. You're in it, right? We either fight, defend, or shut down. And most people don't realize they're escalating until it's too late. So the goal here is to catch it early before we hit this full-blown massive reactivity mode. And instead, we can kind of modify little by little as we go. So our strategies to slow our escalation down is going to start with the power of the pause. And this really just means that we count to three before we react, before we respond. And we give our brain a second to catch up with our emotions, to weigh our pros and cons. And it really is, as we practice this more, this can be done in milliseconds. We will be able to taste our words before we say them. We can really choose actively to respond instead of just react. So in these pauses, we can either pause for those 3 seconds, we can take a sip of water, adjust our posture, take a slower breath, or just speak a little bit more slowly. We want you to get comfortable buying time here. Things end up escalating because our body goes into fight or flight, and we kind of panic. And when it comes to that point, we are just trying to get this over with as soon as possible. And what that usually means is that I create short-term solutions for long-term problems. And I trade short-term comfort for long-term dysfunction. And what I mean by that is we either try to push through it and we just say whatever it is that we need to say. We chalk it up as me just being honest and just telling you how it is. And then things escalate and we spend so much more time cleaning up the mess than if we had just taken a fraction of that time in order to just sit with it and clean it up slowly. So as we're doing this 3-second rule, and while we're trying to buy this time, I want you to get more comfortable with actually verbalizing, I need a second. I'm feeling overwhelmed. I need to take a quick break. I'm thinking about what you said before I respond. I want to make sure that I stay on task and I need a second to gather my thoughts. Right? It doesn't have to be this super eloquent thing. It can just be, hang on, I'm defensive, give me a minute. Right? Or, oh, I'm angry in my chest, I got to step out. It doesn't have to be anything where like you have to really think about it. You're more so just speaking the truth about what is happening within your body. I don't want to regret what I'm going to say. I'm going to step out. And while that sometimes can feel like a threat, what we really want to recognize is that it's not, unless you intend for it to be. But when we're using this in the truest of sense, we are really saying that I am going to pop off. I am going to say some shit that I do not mean just to win, just to get the final word, just to feel like I have some power here, just to feel a level of superiority over what's happening because I feel so small. I feel so powerless. I maybe made a mistake and that's really hard for me to sit in. Right. And so we just want to be able to speak life to these things and be honest about what it is. I know I say mean shit when I get angry that I don't mean, and those things linger with you. The intention isn't there, but the impact is poor. And so I'm going to start taking breaks when I notice myself getting to a point. Getting to that boiling point. Within this time, this is where you're going to hear, and we're going to go over the very, you know, typical thing that you hear about taking these deep breaths. And no matter what, no matter how sick you are of hearing it, I wonder how much you've actually done it. when it comes to these guidelines and these tips and advice that people give about calming down in the moment, we tend to discount it because we've heard it so many times. And so what I'd like for you to do is consider full-blown trying it. There's some advocates for the 4-7-8 breathing where you inhale for 4 counts, you hold it for 7 counts, and you exhale for 8. I am not a fan of that one. What my clients report and what I have an experience when I do this is the holding pattern almost causes a little bit more stress in my chest. And at that point, I'm just unwilling to risk it. Typically, what I recommend is doing something where we inhale intentionally and then we exhale for a couple counts longer than we inhaled for. So if you inhale for 4, exhale for 6 or 7. We really want to allow for us to really push out all of that breath, push out all of that energy and that anxiety, and just sit within it. We want to unclench our jaw, drop our shoulders, relax our hands, maybe even stand up and stretch subtly to break the tension. We want to make sure that my brow isn't furrowed, that I'm not, you know, already leading with so much anger in my presentation. And then from there, we can do some mental grounding techniques. So you can name 5 things that you see in the room. You can use the 3-3-3 model, which is 3 things I feel, 3 things I touch, 3 parts of my body. You can repeat a phrase that will feel like you're in control more, where you can say something like, I am in control of my response. I get to respond without reacting. I am going to taste my words before I say them. I am safe. This is just uncomfortable. And we want to be able to remind ourselves of all of these things here in the moment. I want you to practice these things as they're coming up, even for the quote unquote small things, so you get more comfortable with taking those breaks. I want you to get more comfortable with listening to your body and doing a bit of a body scan to figure out what happens when you get upset. I prefer that you start practicing this when you're on your own, when you get caught off in traffic, when somebody is rude to you at the checkout line, when you are frustrated with an email at work, right? Or even just a task in general. And I would like for you to just pause, close your eyes, and listen to your body. Feel your heart beating, feel the energy kind of go into your limbs, and just sit with it and recognize what your signs are. What you can also do in real time and throughout your life really is to touch yourself, and not in that way. All right. So what we want to do is instead get more comfortable with giving our body actual touch. That's not sexual, that's not inappropriate, that's not like going to get you arrested if you do it in public, but more so in a way that grounds me to me and brings me back into my body. When children are born, when babies are born, we do skin-to-skin contact immediately because we know that that's important for regulation. And what we want to do is get more comfortable with doing that. I would like to see you, you know, when you're taking a shower, spend a little bit of time with your arms around your body and hug yourself. Even in real time during this conflict, right, you can actually kind of squeeze certain parts of your body. You can squeeze one finger one at a time, right? It's going to give you something to do with that energy. Because if we're not doing anything with it, we're going to explode, throw something, punch something, hit something, break something, or just storm out, slam doors, do that whole deal. Or little by little, we can start incorporating something that gives us a little bit of that energy put off as we're in real-time conflict. What can also be helpful is once we are in this conflict, what we know is that our eyes process emotion. And that's why a lot of the time you can see as you're thinking, our eyes kind of going back and forth rapidly. When we think, we tend to like look up and over in a way. Our eyes are part of our processing, hence EMDR, which is, you know, a really wonderful therapeutic technique for healing these narratives and actually healing trauma. So what we can do in real time, if you notice yourself getting hot and knowing that you're likely to escalate quickly, I want you to just focus your eyes on one part of the room at a time. Because when our eyes aren't moving, it's harder for our brain to process information. And so I want you, while you take deep breaths, is to just focus your eyes on one part of the wall, whatever that is, and not something that's going to actively upset you. but more so just something that's relatively neutral. And you can let them know, like, I need a second. And then just focus. Focus your eyes there. Do those deep breaths and give yourself an opportunity to let your logical mind catch up with your emotional mind. And also, we know when the fight is escalating, right? Like, we know that there are certain times that I have an opportunity to either engage and lean in and meet and or exceed their intensity level, or I have an opportunity to kind of disarm this. And more often than not, we tend to take that first bait because it feels better. It feels like empowerment. It feels like I'm fighting back and I'm protecting and defending myself. What it ends up doing is putting you in more danger, emotional or otherwise. And so what I'd like to see you doing is using some disarming statements like, I am on your side. I'm not against you here. I want us to figure this out together. Can we slow down? I really want to be able to hear what you're saying. It's hard for me to hear you when you're speaking in that volume. Can you please lower your voice? I'm getting overwhelmed. Can we please each take a second? It's letting them know that this is important to me. You are important to me. And our bodies, our reactions are running the show. So how can we find opportunities to mend little by little throughout this conflict? So we can prolong it. And I know you're going to say, like, fuck that. I don't want to prolong it. And it's prolonging it so that we can do this once and be done with it. Not get this over with as soon as possible, you know, just wild out and then spend days, weeks, even months or longer trying to remedy something that happened that time. I need you to know when to step away. Recognize when a break is the best move and where I'm not doing it just to avoid, where I don't want to hear them out. I don't really give a shit what they have to say right now. And so I'm going to bail out. Well, no, it's instead that I recognize I have a limitation in me. I recognize that I just can't hear you. I keep building these things up. My chest is building. I'm almost incapable of giving you the benefit of the doubt. And so you can say any one of those one-liners. I need 5 minutes to cool down. I'll be back. Right? I need to step away. I'm getting too upset and I want to be able to hear you. I want to be able to fix this. I'm going to be back. I typically have a rule that the person who pauses it, because some of us are going to have more distress tolerance than others, more ability to tolerate conflict than others. What I typically recommend is that the person who recommends the break and who physically likely leaves the room, they are the one that when we get back together, they speak first. And what we want to do when we get back together, when we come back together, is to lead with some level of vulnerability. Take accountability for literally anything that you have done poorly. You're not taking accountability for the entire argument or how it got here. You are only, you know, breathing life and carrying and owning the fact that maybe you misstepped a little bit. And it doesn't have to be a grovel. It can be that when you come back, you sit down and you say, I don't quite think I was ready for this conversation. And I led with defensiveness. I'm here. I'm listening. Let's keep going. Right? It doesn't have to be this whole, like, I'm sorry. I fucked up. La-da-da. If you find yourself apologizing just to get through the conflict and just to shut it down, you are asking for them to expect this from you each time. Because if you apologize for something one time and you repeat it, and one time you apologize just to keep the peace, which isn't peace, it's the illusion of it, and this time you're going to hold your ground, you are being so inconsistent that they won't know what to believe. You are manifesting and you are actually creating more opportunities for conflict in the future. We are spending this time and energy anyway. That's what I need all of us to remember. Is that we spend so much time trying to prevent a conflict from getting to the point of us talking about it, right? When the conflict is already happening, we get so impatient. We get so frustrated that it's happening at all that we make it last longer. instead of taking that energy that's going toward the injustice of having to have this conversation, the frustration, the inconvenience of having the conversation, if we were to take that energy and just choose actively to put it toward mending the conversation, we would have much better success in achieving those goals that we're trying to get to. If they are yelling, you don't have to yell back. If you are frustrated and you're just like not, I mean, in the mood, but of course, we rarely are in the mood to fight, except some of us, you know, tend to like it. If it's not working for you in that moment, but you care about the person that you're talking to, you care about this person and you actually want to know what affects them, how you've wronged them, how they're feeling inside, then you can say that. You can say, hey, I am just so not ready for this conversation right now. Let's take a couple hours. I'm going to go kind of sit in it, think about how it is that I want to present, think about how this affects me and how this affects you, and like reset, and let's try again later tonight. But if you are going to push it, it can't be an indefinite push. We have to agree on a time to continue this conversation. And the best time is going to be when I feel prepared for it. We don't have to let our anger that is good and giving us a message, letting us know where there's an injustice, letting us know where there's something that doesn't feel right here. We don't have to let that part run the show. You have the tools to be able to listen to the message it's giving you and then decide what to do with it. We want to get out of being reactive, leading with our reactions, I reacted poorly, and more into, I am going to intentionally respond. And even then, I still might get it wrong. And I have an opportunity every single second of this conflict to attempt repair, to walk it back, to de-escalate and disarm my partner, my friend, my coworker, anyone, my child. It's not about winning or losing. It's about staying steady and keeping control of yourself. Oftentimes, we think that if I don't meet or exceed your intensity level, then that's weak of me. That I'm not going to let you just do all of this and I'm going to stay calm. But we forget that I am only in control of me. And if I am not okay with the way that they are treating me, I do not have to sit here and tolerate it. You can set a boundary and say, hey, I am not going to stay during this conversation when I'm being treated this way. I refuse to be spoken to this way. I'm going to be leaving. There is so much more power in that than just getting louder with them, giving them more opportunity to discount you, giving them more opportunity to view you as the problem. If they are problematic, let them take the spotlight, center stage. And you can sit in the audience super fucking happy to watch it. But the minute you take that emotional bait, intentionally or unintentionally, you are center stage with them and you might even kick them right off and take the lead. What I want you to do this week is to try any one of these techniques. And when you feel that anger rising in your chest, do something different than what you did before. Any one of those, the list that I just gave you, I want you to choose the one that you're most willing to use and try it. Let me know how it goes. Prepare for this. Prepare for conflict. Expect conflict and know what you will do once it hits. Listen to your body. And even if it is like, I need to leave, be back in 5 minutes, or like, I have to go, I can't stay here, I need to go calm down, whatever this is, give yourself that opportunity and let the people in your life know what you're working on. If you've made this commitment to yourself that you're going to start setting boundaries during conflicts and taking intentional time delays, please let the people in your life know what you're working on. So when that does present, it doesn't spark something even bigger. You've conditioned them to expect a certain version of you. And we don't get to be upset when they expect it. We have to change the narrative. And if we're going to change it, we are going to get some resistance from them. And that's okay. We don't have to villainize them and say, oh, you must benefit from my boundary. And that's why you're upset by it. No, they're just expecting it. If you gave me a dollar a day for years, and then one day you withheld, I'm going to say, where the fuck is my dollar? It's the same thing. It's behavioral conditioning and expecting us to get a certain result. And so let them know what this looks like. Hey, I know that I have a history of saying mean stuff when I'm upset. I really don't want to keep doing that. And I'm going to try this and this and this. So when you see me get activated in our arguments, can you please remind me of this? Can you suggest that we take a break? Tell me that you're on my side. Remind me that we're not at odds, that we're not enemies here. And then encourage both of us to take a break, right? Like, you can ask for help with these things. Just let them know what you're working with. And because this is shift talking, of course, and this is not just about preventing things and putting band-aids on bullet wounds, this is about the real growth that the shift framework facilitates. Let's break down the shift framework. Our S is our self. So we want to lead with more awareness of, do we even recognize our own escalation patterns? What physical or emotional cues tell me that I'm about to lose control? Historically, when I play the tape back, what types of things tend to spark me more? And when do I feel incapable of calming down? How do I actually feel about being the one to stay calm? Does that feel like losing? Does that feel weak? And where does that come from? The better you know yourself, the easier it is to step in before you regret. When you have active, valid complaints and the way that you go about it is super poor, you become the problem and your complaint does not get to be remedied. It doesn't get to be heard because your message got lost in your mess. And I don't want that for you anymore. Our H is our healing. Healing from this bullshit, you guys. What past conflicts are shaping how you react now? Are you carrying old wounds into new arguments? And how can we remedy that within ourselves? To forgive myself for previous missteps, to forgive myself for times that I tolerated, treatment that I will no longer tolerate? Am I carrying old wounds into new arguments? How can I keep it one thing at a time? And how can, again, I forgive myself and move through the fact that I just didn't have these tools before? Slowing down isn't just about preventing this one blow up. It's about breaking old cycles, maybe even generational cycles of reactivity. Our I is our innovation. De-escalation is a skill, not a personality trait. We have to keep trying and building this muscle. We have to practice and get more comfortable. You don't have to be this kumbaya person. It's impractical for you, maybe. You just need the right tools. I'm not looking for you to go from Hulk smashing through walls during conflicts to then, you know, just being this like, oh, everyone, let's just take a break and let's sit down and sing a song. Like, we're not going to get there, and that's okay. And maybe if you want to get there, that's totally fine too. And we just need to reduce the intensity of these times by a little bit every time. If typically we go from 0 to 10, if we go from 0 to 9.8, that's a win. That is progress. Within this I want you to ask yourself, like, what is one way that I can respond differently the next time I'm in a heated environment? What am I going to do differently? How can I remind myself? This innovation will look like painting one of your fingernails so that as you have your hands in front of your face active in this conflict, you will see it and it will remind you of why you're doing this work and what work you're actually doing. You can get yourself a new ring, a bracelet. You can, you know, write something on the back of your hand in Sharpie. You can put a single dot on the back of your hand. We need something that's going to be this physical image and token of the work that I'm doing, that I am not in the business of repeating my same mistakes. Those times are done. And as we do that, we build this fortitude. We practice it. We understand that we're not going to get it right every time. We emphasize resilience and adaptability. We recognize the importance of mental flexibility. And every time you pause instead of react, you are literally rewiring your brain and the way that it navigates conflict. And so long as you can do this little by little, you will build that fortitude, that genuine belief and grit that I can get through this. And ultimately, we get to this T, our transformation. We imagine our future selves. How do they handle conflict? What changes do you need to make today to become that version of you? And you don't have to be the person who explodes. You can be the person who stays in control and view that as powerful as that is. You will start feeling yourself automatically react differently.
You'll recognize when people are emotionally baiting you, intentionally or unintentionally, and I am no longer just going to chomp that up. These things will come more easily, more readily, I promise you, as long as you do the work. So if as you practice these things, you're having trouble, if it feels like this is just too far out of my scope, the tools that you're giving me, I just don't think I can apply, I'm trying, but it's just not working, please book a prep call with me. It's a free 15-minute phone consultation. I can help you figure out what the next move should be, what it could be for you. And what I need people to recognize about these prep calls and about the work that I do in general is that I'm not a salesperson. I just want to help. And fundamentally, I'm so driven to help prevent our children, the next generation, from inheriting our poor coping skills, our poor conflict management skills, our poor anger management skills, our poor emotional literacy. And so reach out if you need me, you know where to find me. We have, you know, done our work to stop the explosion. We've done our work to kind of not fuel the flames and maybe just let them die out naturally. And now we need to know how to mend after things get messy. When things get messy. As you're practicing this work, things will still go sideways. When you ask to take a break, maybe they will give you resistance and that just triggers you even more, right? There's going to be plenty of opportunities to practice this because we are surrounded by opportunities of conflict. And you get to decide how you react. Remember, everything I do here is for your empowerment, one shift at a time. Stay steady, and I will see you next time.